science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. Now, this week, it should have been the third part of our conspiracy series, but both the professor and I have had different types of man flu. Yes, it's real. The pain is real. And we decided that the worst thing we could do was probably cross the streams, cross-contaminate the whatever it is that we've got each. And so I'm doing an emergency episode. Now, always, I have a couple of episodes planned just for this exact predicament where what we were going to do can't get done for whatever reason. And we're also in, heading towards the middle of December now. So we're also in that period where we start to think about the new year. And what happens in the new year? We set resolutions. And I thought, do you know what? Let's actually turn this on its head, because resolutions, by and large, don't succeed. And there's lots of reasons for that, which we will talk about. But I really want to talk about how we can launch into 2025 with resilient, exciting resolutions that become adventurous goals. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, why do resolutions fail? Because most of the time you make them when we've had a few drinks. They are therefore very vague, unplanned, and no one takes them really seriously anyway. So we'll stand there and we'll go, oh yeah, my resolution this year is I'm going to quit smoking. Or my resolution this year is I'm going to get that a new job. Or I'm going to write a book. But there's no feeling attached to it. There's no plans attached or strategies attached to it. And there's no sense of realism either. So resolutions fail for all those reasons. They lack a specific outcome. They're not defined specifically either, which is also crucial. You set unrealistic expectations. I'm going to earn £1 million by the end of the year. I'm only earning £1,000 a month at the moment, but hey, you know. And it's also, I think, because we are faced with that societal pressure at that moment to come up with those resolutions, it just is a system that is doomed to fail. So what we need to do, actually, is we need to change our idea of what resolutions are and plan them ahead of time. We need to make them exciting. We need to make them adventurous for us, but achievable. We need to frame our resolutions as opportunities for growth and new experiences. And we need to couch them in language that excites us as individuals. The same language that excites me on a particular goal or resolution may not excite you. You find the language that excites you. That's really important. And then the other thing to do is once you've actually defined properly what your final outcome of the resolution is make them smart. Now, I can hear all the eyebrows raising and eyes rolling as I say that, but this comes back to this whole idea of knowing what to do is not the same as doing what you know. And we all know smart inside and out, but how many of us actually implement it? It's really, really important. So you define your resolution properly. You will turn it into a goal. You make it specific. What, why, how. You make it measurable. So you break it down into steps along the way, milestones along the way that you can achieve by a certain date that then enable you to track, gives you the metrics to track the progress. You make it achievable. You ensure that the goal is within reach and realistic. You don't go from £1,000 a month to £1 million a month within 12 months unless you win the lottery, normally. But I'm not saying it's not possible, but maybe better to make it a more achievable set of plans and make the £1 million target 3 years away starting at £1,000 base. You make it relevant. How does this goal and how do these milestones align with your personal values and your other long-term objectives? By setting that clear timeline for accomplishment, you're really giving yourself that framework then to hang everything else upon. And above all else, by using SMART, you turn something like a resolution that is, I want to get fit, into, I will run 3 miles 3 times a week to prepare for a 5-kilometer race in July. You're making it very specific. You're giving yourself a target to achieve and milestones along the way. And it's much more effective at managing your ability to achieve that goal than it is just by saying, I'm going to get fit. Because what does that mean? How are you going to do it? When by? What is your definition of fitness? Do you see where I'm coming from? Another idea that I would really strongly suggest is that you kind of work on changing your mindset as well. And you adopt, in particular, a growth mindset. By this, I mean that you look at all aspects of your life, including your abilities, your skills, your knowledge, and you look at improving incrementally in those areas. So you adopt that growth mindset, and every little step that you take forward it helps you build up confidence. And so you start to see challenges as opportunities to improve rather than insurmountable obstacles or even as failures. And this is the key thing. Don't look at things that go wrong as a failure. Look at them as a lesson. What can I learn from that? What mistakes did I make? What strategies didn't work? How can I improve that? What's the real lesson I've learned? Even if that lesson at the end of the day is, well, I won't ever do that again, you've still learned. And you need to acknowledge that's a lesson for you along the way. And then within that, I think you should also encourage an intellectual curiosity. So continuous learning and development is part of your goal setting. And it helps individuals, it helps you and me stay adaptable and responsive to change. Because we're learning all the time, and therefore we're adapting all the time. We're adapting our skill base, we're adapting our abilities, we're adapting our knowledge, and therefore it is more likely that we will be more adaptable should challenges arise in the future. Or even changes in government, or changes in the way that certain things are done, or changes in the law. We can adapt more effectively if we're already in a mindset that looks for growth and incremental change. So once you've taken that resolution and turned it into a SMART-led set of goals, you then need to build in your action steps and your plans along the way. So break down your goals into those manageable action steps. So for example, if you want to write a book, start with a chapter outline, schedule the writing sessions. Is it morning or afternoon that's best for you? Is it 2 hours in a block? Is it an hour every day? Whichever way around you feel is the most productive for you, then do that, but plan it in. And then you set deadlines for each chapter. So let's say your book outline says you've got 15 chapters, you've got 12 months. I therefore need to write 1.3 chapters a month. I'm just making that figure up out of my head. It sounds about right. But 1.3 chapters a month. And then you set off. And that's your minimum target. A minimum target. If you can write 2 chapters a month, all the better. Because it gives you more time then to go back and do edits and refreshes before the 12-month deadline is up. Now, my first book, for example, I wrote my first book, the bulk of it, in 4 weeks. I had a 2-week blog where it was just me on my own, and I literally wrote all day, every day, got 95% of the book done, finished it off over the following 2 weeks, including all the edits. My new book, which is out in the new year, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, I've taken a year. I had the bulk of it done 6 months ago. For the last 6 months, I've really been going back, just tweaking it here and there, looking at what strategies need to be explained a little bit more clearly, and are there any other anecdotal points I could make that would reinforce what I'm trying to get across. And I'm now, the book is finished, but it's taken me a year. And I'm now just working on the marketing ideas behind it before we get it launched. So it's whatever you feel is achievable and comfortable, but also a little bit of a stretch for you. Always have that little bit of a stretch there. Don't make it impossible, because that just sets you up to fail. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of a stretch in there to keep you motivated and on task. I would also suggest that you find someone to be accountable to. Now, I know from personal experience that friends and family sometimes look at me like I'm weird and I'm a freak, because they don't understand why I feel the need to do this kind of planning, or why I have these brainstorming sessions, or why I journal like I do. And that's fine, but there are still groups that you can be accountable to. You can find, for example, the Better Life Challenge that I'm doing with Dean Graziosi. You will find that there are Facebook groups that are supporting some of these challenges, and therefore they are accountable to you and you're accountable to them if you choose to join them, which I strongly recommend that you do. So you find these like-minded groups, and then you set up this virtual group of people that will support you. I did an episode of a podcast actually on finding the right kitchen cabinet, not from MFI or IKEA, the kind of right people for you to run ideas by. So I'll put the link for that into the forum post for this episode. I'll also put the link for some other things I'm going to discuss into that post as well. So keep listening for when I tell you where that post is going to be. And finally, and I mentioned this earlier, learn from your setbacks. The people that have succeeded the most have failed the most. And for example, Richard Branson, he failed in lots of his endeavors, but he learned. He didn't see them as failures. He saw them as lessons. And that's what I would encourage you to do. When you make a mistake or when things go wrong, don't see it as a failure. See it as a lesson for you to learn from. And then you can come up and improve new strategies. You can improve new ways of doing things. You might even set up a completely different set of goals because you've learned the lessons from this particular project or whatever that you were working on, action that you were working on. And maybe the lesson is it's not achievable that way. I have to go about it a different way. Or maybe the lesson is I'm actually aiming for the wrong target. It could even be that. So therefore you set a new target and you take the lessons from the strategies you employed originally in the other one, and you see what's applicable to the new target and you go after that. It's really important that you just change those mindsets into looking at things much more positively. Now, I mentioned about the podcast episode on choosing the right kitchen cabinet. I think another episode I'm going to recommend you to listen to as well is the Power of Journaling, the Art of Journaling episode that I did. Again, the links for these will all appear in the forum post for this episode. So you can go and listen to them as well, because journaling here really starts to come into its own, in my opinion. And I use, again, the Better Life Journal that Dean's company has produced. I've used other journals in the past and I've always found them really useful, but the way that Dean's journal format works really suits me absolutely bang on. It just helps me achieve what I'm achieving. And I have to say, guys, since I did the initial Better Life Challenge and started this journal scheme with Dean's Better Life Journals last November 2023, and I have to say I've achieved more in the last year using both the journal and the planning system and the springboard from the Better Life Challenge, which I'm going to talk about more detail in a moment. I've achieved more in the last 12 months than I have achieved in the previous 7 years, and that's no exaggeration. Illness or not, neurological disorder or not, the fact is that I was drifting, trying to, the reasons why I couldn't do things had become the giant, it had become the elephant that was blocking my ability to move around. And by doing the journaling and by setting the goals using the challenge as a springboard, I was much more effectively able to manage my condition rather than my condition manage me. And again, there's another episode. I did an episode of the podcast on when your brain betrays you, which explains what FND actually is. It's actually a fascinating area of health. And I learned a lot from doing the episode on that as well to help me. Doing the episode itself helped me come up with strategies to manage my condition. So again, I'll put the link for that for those of you curious as to what FND is. But I've achieved more in the last 12 months than I've done in the previous 7 years. And I am certain that by the end of 2025, I'll have achieved more in 2 years than I will have in the last 10, the previous 10. And that is no exaggeration. Part of that is because I've adopted this daily journaling practice where I, even if I'm not writing new things in it every day for 10 to 15 minutes every day, I am reviewing, I'm going back, I'm looking at previous entries, I'm looking to see if there's any actions that I've missed that I need to do, or any ideas in there that I've kind of got the idea in there, and then I subsequently haven't really implemented it. So I do that every day, and it's just such a vital tool that I've found. So please, I really do, I don't want to turn this episode into an episode on journaling, but I really recommend you go and listen to the Art of Journaling episode that I did. And I really heartily recommend that you buy the Better Life journal from Dean Graziosi. And if you use the links I'm going to give you, you'll also get 20% off them as well. And no, I don't get a penny for any of the sales of these journals or from the Better Life challenge, which I'm going to recommend to you in a moment. I don't get any benefit. It's just, I think these are really great tools that I'm finding invaluable, and I'm hoping that you guys will as well. So I've alluded to this Better Life Challenge. What is it? So it's a 30-day, very simple, 5 minutes every day for 30 days. And it basically is a challenge where you do incremental changes or incremental steps, and they basically provide a framework then for achieving some significant goals. By the end of the 30 days, you will have come up with some ideas and some distinctions and some very useful strategies and some positive thinking and mindset shifts that are really going to be useful. And by doing the challenge now on the lead up to January the 1st, you will always start at day one, no matter what day you start. So if you start today, you'll be starting at day one, and you'll probably end up a week into January. But it doesn't matter, even if it's the end of January, even if you use the 30-day challenge as your resolution set for the 30 days of January, it will springboard you into the rest of the year. Trust me on this one. It was discovering the 30-day challenge last November, as I've said, that really got me moving forward at such a pace, and whilst dealing with the treatment for my condition and the condition itself and everything else around that, it's just made such a difference to my mindset and my ability to manage my condition rather than my condition managing me, as I've said. But within that, if you also use the journal, and in particular Dean's Better Life journal, then you've got a really great way to create a powerful momentum and springboard effect into that new year, that new 2025, which is just around the corner. And I think the key thing here is it's important that you understand how just being consistent and changing things incrementally, Kaizen is the Japanese way, for example, of continuous improvement. Just understand how these incremental changes lead to big results. And trust me, if you make even just a 1 degree shift in your direction of life, where you will be 365 days from now is a completely different place from where you would be if you just continue to do more of the same. Just that 1 degree shift now is a massive shift by the end of the year. And it's that consistency, that looking at new ways of thinking, creating new ideas, incremental steps towards your goals, incremental learning steps that help you understand why you want to achieve those goals. All those things are there, all the strategies, and a journal will help you actually lock all that down and give you the blueprints to refer to as you go along, but also in the future. So if you have a challenge that comes in the future that's similar to one that you've already solved in your journal, because you wrote down what the problem was, 80-20 is the 20-80 rule, 20% of your time on the problem, you write the problem down, you define it, 80% of the time then of coming up with the strategies that will help you crush that problem. You've then got the blueprint there. So you reduce the amount of time should another challenge arise in the future that's similar. You've already got a plan of action that you can adapt very quickly to tackle the new one. Let's wrap this up. So as I said in the forum for post for this particular episode, if you go to darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum, you'll find that there's a post for this specific episode. I will put the links in for the episode on finding the right kitchen cabinet and for the art of journaling. I'll put in the link for the Better Life journal, and I'll also put in the link for the Better Life challenge, which you can then start as soon as you see that. And as I say, it's 5 minutes every day for 30 days. And it just builds incrementally. There's no real hard task in them. They're just all incremental steps that build gradually. And in the 30 days, then when you look back, you'll see just how far your mindset has changed and how much more positive you are about building towards something in the future. So all that will go into that post. And I heartily recommend that you do sign up for that 30-day challenge, because it will, trust me, it will help propel you into your best year yet. And that's what we need to do, all of us. We need to try and make 2025 a different year, a more positive year, where we're in control and able to sidestep issues that are thrown at us, rather than the kind of, I don't know, the way that life has gone in the last few years with COVID and wars and revolutions and just people falling out on such a massive scale. When we don't really need to fall out, we need to work collegiately. We need to understand that because something I believe isn't necessarily what I have to force on other people to believe. We just need to be getting on with our lives and building something positive for each of us. And then if we're all doing that, then that positivity then starts to extend into the wider world. And trust me, that's something that is needed more than anything. So I'll be back next week, hopefully with the professor for the second part, for the third part of our Conspiracy 101. It's got some really good ones in there. So come and join us for that. And if we're still ill and we haven't been able to record the third episode, there'll be something completely different. Who knows? But come and join me anyway. I love doing these things. Come and join me in the forum in particular with your own suggestions about how to adapt a more positive mindset and how to set goals and resolutions. Or come and join me and tell me what you've learned from the challenge, if you've decided to do it, and so on. So it's all there. You can comment, you can post GIFs, you can post videos, you can post images and text, all in the same little comment post. Our forum really does rock. So come and join us there. We'll have a discussion that takes this little episode a bit further. Until then, take care everyone, and I'll see you all very soon.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.